This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back up. And when I fall down,
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome. I am Clayton Wimshurst and you're listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBTI community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue, or introduce a new way of thinking. And most importantly, facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. Now, I'm flying solo tonight. My straight girls are off around the world somewhere, possibly in Melbourne still, but around the world anyway. So tonight, I am joined by Emily Dunstan, who is founder of Chunky Yoga, of which I have been to a few times. Chunky Yoga, how would you describe Chunky Yoga? Oh, first of all, hello, Emily.
Hello, how are you going, Clayton?
How would you describe Chunky Yoga?
Chunky Yoga is, I would say, the only space so far at the moment that provides full inclusion for both gender and body diversity. It's a very welcoming, safe space for all people to practice yoga. It's very accessible yoga as well, so it's made accessible for all people to try, regardless of your level of abilities.
Yeah, you certainly challenged me this week. There was some flipping involved.
You didn't have to do the flipping.
I gave it a go.
You did it, though. Yeah, you did. Absolutely. You gave it a go.
Yeah, absolutely. But it is great because, you know, I haven't got the typical body that one would expect for yoga. Mm-hmm. So it was great to just give things a slightly different go. And it's great to have a place that, you know, it's your sexuality is not an issue and all those sorts of things, whereas... I imagine yoga is pretty inclusive in general, but still, it's good to have that name on the door to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I say that all the time, that as a whole, most yoga classes would be fairly inclusive. Most yoga teachers, I'm sure, are good people. You hear your odd kind of story of people having a not a great experience at yoga, but I think what happens with a lot of other yoga studios is they don't realise that just the wording and their imagery alone on their website can be a little disconcerting for those who perhaps are trans or fat or...
Sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And they don't, like myself, I consider myself as a fat activist and I'm bigger. I'm one of two plus-size teachers in Australia. And so, yeah, so it's just about putting it right out there from the get-go exactly what you are as opposed to putting the same usual... pictures of skinny young cis women
absolutely
on your website. Yeah.
I certainly like people if I say, oh, I'm doing this thing called Chunky Yoga, and people are like, oh, what's that? And I just go, oh, yoga for fat people. But I then elaborate, but I just like to see the look on their face when you start off like that.
Absolutely.
It's sort of like, it's just you kind of go in, other people are of plus size or people who are all sorts of shapes and sizes, and I imagine disability is not a problem for you either.
No, that's right. I have a few people that, as long as you give me a good idea before you come, so then I can be prepared, because I like to be prepared for those situations, then yeah, definitely I have people. Well, I'm actually currently got a teacher who's a person who's going into doing teaching training. She'll be finished in a few months, and she's got fibromyalgia. So she has quite a few limitations there, but we work with that. So we work with chairs, and I pride myself in making yoga as accessible as possible. So yeah, definitely disability is something that, as long as I get to have a conversation with you beforehand about what you consider as your limitations,
yeah,
I can help out.
Sounds good. Now we're gonna get more in a little bit later about what got you into yoga and those sorts of things, but I want to know first of all, what's your favorite position? And I do mean yoga. So,
good question. I think my favorite position would be the headstand.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite positions to teach as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one of those ones that look really, really hard, but it's actually nowhere near as hard as what you would think it is, and incredibly empowering once you get into it. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. And I can guarantee you every time I teach that in a class, I always get a good review. it's my guaranteed way to get someone to pop a good review on my website.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's my favorite position to do and to teach.
Just to be clear, I'm not ready for that yet.
No. Really? rubbing my hands together.
I've got myself in it now. And do you have a favorite apparatus that goes along with things?
Well, the block is just fantastic. Mm-hmm. The block is, I always say that we're going to make love to these blocks in this class today because we just use them for everything, or almost everything. But yeah, they're just a really great way of bringing the ground closer to you, so then you don't have to overstretch and overdo anything, so then your body's kept safe. So they're just a really good way to make yoga accessible and safe for all people.
Absolutely. So,
yeah,
sounds great.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, I also think you're quite a fan of the little rolly cylinder.
Oh,
thing.
Yes. Yeah, I don't have them in every class.
No, they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, the roller, the big long roller that you can roll on, it just works beautiful. It does wonders on my shoulders.
It kind of looks like a thick pool noodle.
It does, yeah. And you lay on it and you just, you can make love to that thing too.
Just rock back and forth.
Yeah.
I actually like that a lot too.
Yeah. I haven't yet to invest in one of those because I don't think I'd leave my bedroom.
Right, okay. You can just use it as a pillow as well. Yeah. It works for everything, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. You could snuggle it at night. Just put like a picture on it of someone's face.
Yeah. Nice. Well, coming up, we're going to have a talk about what got you into yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the other stuff you're doing in the community to help out as well.
Yeah.
So you are listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. And this is Clayton and we're with Emily.
Baby, can't you see I'm calling? A guy like you should wear a warning. It's dangerous, I'm falling. There's no escape, I can't wait. I need a hit, baby, give me it. You're dangerous, I'm loving it. Too high, can't come down. Losing my head, spinning round and round. Do you feel me now? With the taste of your lips, I'm on a ride. You're toxic, I'm slipping under. Taste of your poison, paradise. I'm addicted to you. Don't you know that you're toxic? And I love what you do. Don't you know that you're toxic? It's getting late to give you up. I took a sip from my devil's cup. Slowly, it's taking over me.
Listening to Stand Up Straight with Michelle on Joy 94.9.
That was our lovely Bella, who was doing our little tag. You guys wouldn't know, but Bella was a 10-year-old trans girl that we interviewed. Aww. So, yeah, we got a tag from her too because we love her so much.
Yes.
So I am talking to Emily Dunstan, who is a yogi? What do we call that?
You can go with yogi or just yoga teacher.
Yoga teacher? Yeah, it's fine.
I find the word yogi a bit used. Overused.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah.
And hasn't always been used in polite terms.
No, so, no, it's just, yeah, it's been a bit colonized.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
But, yeah.
So yoga teacher. Yoga, we'll go with that. Yeah. That's cool. What got you into yoga in the first place?
So I was playing roller derby.
Mm-hmm.
Played for quite a few years, and I took up Bikram yoga as a way to cross train, so just to be able to build some more strength in certain areas that I wouldn't be getting through playing roller derby. And so I started doing Bikram, and so of course you go to Bikram because Bikram's the one that's in the 42 degrees heat. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I'm doing roller derby, so I'm doing the roller derby of yoga, which is Bikram. I loved it, but like I was the only bigger person in the class. No real body diversity at all. Although I had a really awesome teacher. She was pretty cool. Very body positive person, but just, yeah. And so I started asking a few friends as to why they were like, do you want to come with me? And they were like, no way, I'm not coming to yoga. I don't want to. And I'm not talking about lots of big, like not all my friends were big. They were all different types of people. And they were just like, nah, I'm not comfortable enough going to yoga, rah, rah. So I knew I was finishing up with roller derby, and I was studying at that time social work, and I had learned heaps about a lot of the issues that particularly trans people and stuff had were enduring in society and stuff. And I was like, I would really love to create a business based on like a yoga class based on inclusion. Particularly being plus size person and the issues, the limitations I have found, and being able to just teach people how to get around those limitations. And so I went and studied in a 12-day intensive, 5 in the morning till 9 at night every day for 12 days.
That is intense.
Yeah.
That's very intense.
It was life-changing, absolutely life-changing. I went to Byron Bay and did it on a compound. You know, it was amazing, like life-changing but exhausting. And came back and started my business and literally just hit the ground running. Like, yeah, I haven't looked back since. So it's been going for about 8 or 9 months now, and it's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think you get out of yoga the most?
Do you mean within my personal practice or within my, like, as a teacher?
Oh, personal practice, sorry.
Personal practice?
Yep.
Okay,
so... We'll do the teacher one in a bit, though.
Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. So my personal practice, I get... I've learned to fall in love with my body.
Nice.
Yeah. So I learn what my body is actually capable of, as opposed to what it's not capable of, which is what a lot of people put a lot of focus into, what they can't do. And I've learned what I can do, which is pretty impressive. And also on a mental, spiritual, I guess I am quite a spiritual person, mental, spiritual level, I've definitely learned to manage my anxiety and depression quite a lot through yoga, just through the mindfulness that yoga brings, and that self-acceptance that it brings. Definitely.
I've certainly found that as well, going to yoga classes and before the ones I went to with you, it is very much, you have to focus on what you're doing. You can't focus on those things that are running through your brain.
Yep.
And so it gives you just a little bit of time off. And
yes, that's exactly it. You get a holiday from your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm an overthinker. I will think about every possible thing that's going on in the world and in my life and every possible outcome that could have from it. And this is just like time, just holiday from the brain. Yeah.
Yeah. It's my brain often, I need time off from it, mostly when I go to bed. But yeah. So it's a good opportunity. And you just, especially the classes where you're more relaxed, that you just come out feeling so lovely. Yeah. Always feel lovely, but just the relaxed ones, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just think that I am really, it's really helping me at the moment getting through the end of year.
Yeah.
Because as a teacher, it's pretty good. Any job, really. It's, the end of year somehow ends up being totally crazy. So
yes.
I'm finding the yoga classes is a great way to just relax.
Yeah.
And that can be any yoga.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yoga is really good way to, yeah, to just switch the brain off and give you really tangible ways to be able to deal with life as well, just moments in life. You know, if you can remember those breathing things and stuff like that, then it, yeah, it's definitely helps just every part of your life, not just that 1 hour that you have class for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last time I went to a mental health sort of psychologist, she was very much into mindfulness, which I think has a lot of overlap as well. So
yeah,
that just,
I think, yeah, those experts now are really turning towards a lot of methods of managing things like mental health, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're turning to things like yoga and meditation and, you know, like, I think that's DBT, the particular form of psychological therapy. They encourage people to do yoga and meditation now. Yeah.
And the queer people, of course, are much more prone to mental health issues. And
absolutely.
Yeah, so finding those outlets that work for you, which might be yoga, it might be talking to someone, might be doing some mindfulness, other forms of meditation, although they're all pretty similar, but just have their own little niches. And yeah, I think they're really important. And sort of if pills and stuff work for you, go for that as well. But these things are very complementary.
Do them both. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Why not have both?
Yeah.
It's like the taco girl.
Yeah, the taco. This is good. Yes. And well, we're going to come back in a little bit and we'll talk about your what you get out of teaching yoga, because I guess that's a very different thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to talk a bit about something you've got coming up in a few
weeks.
In January?
Yeah.
And we're going to finish off later with a bit of a meditation, which, what's the, I can never...
Shavasana.
Shavasana.
Which is basically, in direct translation, means corpse pose.
Right, okay.
It's Sanskrit for corpse pose, but essentially is just... It's the last pose of a class in which you really connect with your body for the last few moments and slow your mind down and really be nourished by your class.
Yeah, well, we'll put in a few disclaimers about if you're driving before that too.
Yeah.
All right, you are on Stand Up Straight. I'm Clayton. And we're talking with Emily about you.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
You are not listening to Michelle because Michelle is away at the moment. She's off actually visiting Nelson. So... I am filling in. My name is Clayton. Filling in. I shouldn't say filling in anymore. I've been doing this for a couple of years now. I am hosting tonight. So I'm talking to Emily Dunstan about being a yoga teacher, as we established in the last break. Now, one thing I forgot to do was go back and ask you, what was the song that you chose to play?
The song I chose to play was Toxic. It's a cover of Britney's Toxic. Yael, I can't remember her surname. No. Yeah, it's Yael Naim. She's fantastic. She does some beautiful, really intoxicating intoxicating covers. But that's my favourite cover that I play during my class. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you like about it as a yoga song?
Well, I like to play covers and that song in particular because it's instantly recognisable, but yet you don't quite know where it's going to go because it is reimagined. So you feel very at home, but yet surprised by what you're hearing. Yeah, I just feel like it has a real yoga feel as well.
Yeah, I do enjoy the music you play. It's good.
Yeah, thank you.
So what do you, we asked before about what you get out of being, doing yoga yourself. Yep. What do you get out of being a yoga teacher?
I love the little victories that students have. Mm-hmm. I like meeting the new people, and I like seeing people empowered. That's one of my favorite things. I like it when people are like, no, I can't do that. And then not making the jokes. I don't make anyone do anything they're not comfortable with, but really encouraging them and really, knowing, once learning, there's certain things I won't teach in a class until I'm comfortable with this, knowing the students in the class, knowing their capacity, and yeah, encouraging them to do something like headstands or like we did wild thing. That yes. was that pose we did the other night.
The spinning pose.
Yeah, yeah. And the one where we went from downward dog upside down, and that was really cool. And just seeing people, like some people are really open about their empowerment and like do the fist pump and the woo and the yays, and it's really, I love watching that. Or you can just see how chuffed, just that little bit of being chuffed in people's face. Yeah, and sure. just, mm-hmm. and I love that. And I love, like I get lots of messages from students just saying, oh, just so you know, this week I did Warrior 2 pose, which is the one, that's actually probably one of my favourite poses. Mm-hmm. I should have mentioned that. Warrior 2 pose is about, the mantra behind Warrior 2 pose is about taking up space, and it's about your right to exist, and that we are too often sorry for our very existence. And I know that those exact words are things that I've talked to a therapist about, being sorry for my own existence. Those, you know, I'm a sorry person. I'm sorry for everything. I'm sorry, 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 sorry. And that pose is about saying, no, I'm not sorry anymore. Not sorry for the way I look. I'm not sorry for being fat. I'm not sorry for being queer. I'm not sorry for anything that society tells me is wrong with me. And having that strength and power to stand up and say, it's my right to exist. It's my right to be here. And yeah, this student messaged me and said, this week was the first week I didn't cry during Warrior 2 pose. Mm. I feel like I'm getting stronger emotionally. And it's like, oh, and these are just like little things like that, as far as I'm concerned, are really big things. And yeah, so that's why I like being a teacher, because it's really amazing.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
As a school teacher, it's exactly pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
Slightly, yes, warrior poses, less warrior poses, but, you know, otherwise it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's just being really, just meeting, like finding out about people's little victories and things. Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. So you've got something coming up in January.
Yes, yes, I do. I'm very excited about this. I'm part of an organising crew that are putting together a community event, a part of Midsummer's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Midsummer's Festival called Smashing the Binary. And Smashing the Binary is an expo promoting gender diversity within sports and the wellness industry. So it'll be an expo giving those different sports teams and wellness businesses an opportunity to come forward and say, hey, you know, we don't gender our language like I try mm-hmm. not to do in my classes, and we have a trans policy within our sports. So, you know, because some sports are really funny and so behind and backward with regards to trans on a team, and lots of sports, there are lots of teams out there that have that just aren't known about. Or we don't gender our I know that this particular roller derby team that I have been a part of and I'm a member of still just on the backgrounds, like, hey. They are a mixed league as opposed to a co-ed league. So they accept that gender isn't on the binary, that it's no longer just a man and a woman, that they have lots of gender non-binary people within their team and stuff. So it's about offering people within that community the opportunity to meet other sports and wellness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really important distinction, and it's a really minor one, just going from saying co-ed to saying, what was the phrase you used?
Mixed.
Mixed, yeah. Yeah. So, and like, even the toilets at Joy used to say gender neutral, and now they actually say all genders.
All genders.
So yeah, it's just that little tiny language change that just makes people feel more included.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like, so URDP, which is United Roller Derby Playoffs, this is what the money is being raised towards, is the first mixed gender roller derby tournament held in the world. And it's held here in Victoria. It's run by Kingston City Rollers. And it's literally down to that language, that so then people can participate who are gender non-binary and don't feel like they have to try and fall into that co-ed men and women. They're on a men's team, they're on a women's team, they're on a co-ed team. It's mixed, and they can play comfortably in an environment that's very aware of their identity. And yeah, so that's what this expo is about. It's really exciting. I'm really excited. I'm going to be teaching yoga there and meditation. And so, yeah.
And what other events are going to be happening during the day?
So we've got, there's a lacrosse team that have a really, that are gender diverse. So they'll be doing, demonstrations. There'll be talks from Sally from TRGV. There will be talks from a number of different trans and non-binary people within other sports. So there's a sports photographer coming, Storm Jury. She's been a sports photographer for years. She's trans, as well as Zephyr Edwards. They are a non-binary person within the roller derby world. As well as Jason Ball is the AFL player, the first AFL player to come out, and they'll be talking about just sexuality within sports, and because then there's Proud to Play, which is
they're going to be them on a different show.
So they're coming. They're one of our sponsors. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a few more people announced as it gets a bit closer. But that's our first little crew of people that we've announced. So there'll be a panel to talk about. So there'll be a little bit of a panel about, I believe, about sexuality within sports. So it is like a queer friendly event as well as trans, and then there'll be a panel about trans. Sports as well, and wellness, because I'm in the wellness industry.
Those questions around how transgender people fit into sport are really challenging for a lot of people at the moment. And we saw at the Olympics, we had a runner who was intersex and competed, I should say. And the sort of controversy, probably just in Australia, about that was quite astounding.
Oh, absolutely. Look, it's ridiculous. It just comes down to that ignorance and not really taking the time to understand that community and understanding, like, it's, and I was talking to Sally earlier, and Sally was saying, oh, you've got a bit of testosterone in your system, so therefore you shouldn't be able to compete. And it's like, as a sport as small as roller derby, grassroots as roller derby gets it. They've had trans people within their sport from the get-go, and trans people, as well as any other gender, plays exactly the same on track as any, like, everyone's the same. It does not, and so it's just that, like, lack of understanding. And it can be quite frustrating, I'm sure, you know, for
I kind of wonder, can we not just move to a point where we base sport on ability rather than gender? I don't have a good answer, but
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm pretty sure 99.9% of the world's population can beat me in every sport. So I don't think it really matters which gender I'm playing against.
It's interesting. So, that's smashing the binary in January 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
One of my radio colleagues, Beck,
who
is not in tonight either, she's going to be very upset with me because I'm talking sport without her.
Oh, no.
So she's big on sport.
Yeah.
And so, I always say to her things like, so you've snuck sport into the show again, haven't you? And, you know.
And you've actually put it in yourself.
I've got it in myself. Like, so, yeah.
She's welcome to talk about smashing the binary again when she gets back.
Yeah, so, well, Beck, if you're listening, haha. So we might go for another song.
Yep.
You're listening to Stand Up Straight. We're going to continue talking to Emily and we're going to have a chat about what yoga means for the queer community. And then we're going to do a meditation, which is called...
Shavasana.
Shavasana.
Yeah.
Nice. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Ooga. When you were before, I couldn't... When you were before, couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. I don't care if it hurts. I wanna have control. I want a perfect body. And I want a perfect soul. I want you to notice.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. You're with Clayton tonight. The straight girls are off doing their thing. Oh, a couple of them overseas. One of them is overseas. Maybe not a couple. We are talking tonight to Emily Dunstan.
Hi.
And Emily is a yoga instructor who works with people with diversity and body, different body shapes and sizes and gender and sexuality and all sorts of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Disabilities as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an important one to mention.
Yeah.
What does yoga mean to the queer community?
I believe that yoga can be really helpful, particularly within the queer community, which is why I find it so annoying that it's been quite colonized by the cis white skinny female. because one thing that yoga offers many things, but one of the things that it really does offer is self-acceptance, and as a bigger person who has suffered from my own form of body dysphoria, as well as I'm sure a lot of trans people do, and queer people suffer from that real struggle of identity. And it's not based on their own personal stuff as opposed to what society tells them that they should be and what they should look like and how they should act. And that's one thing that I've really come to grips with is like, this isn't my issue, that's society's issue. And so what yoga teaches you is to connect with your body and to accept your body as it is in that moment. And I think that's a really important thing for everyone to be able to do, is to connect with your body and love your body for the way that it is now. And also being able to accept who you are as a person now, and being able to be being able to accept who you are now. And
you can start that sentence again.
Yeah, like, no, I'm sorry. I'm kind of like got myself all tied up in a knot here.
It's fine.
I know that there's words, but I can't think of them now.
I'll just pause that and give you a second to catch
Yeah, and yoga really teaches you that no matter what anyone says, that who you are right now is okay. That it's not about what anyone says outside of the mat. It's about who you are on that mat. And that's what's particularly the queer community really needs to be able to connect with. So that's why I think it's very important for the queer community to have yoga.
So rather than be in the moment, be on the mat.
Being on the mat is really important. You can be who you are and what TV says or the newspaper says or radio says, whatever anyone else says is not important. It's who you are on their mat is what's important, and being able to connect with that person is really is a huge part of being happy.
Absolutely. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I struggle the most with balance.
Yep.
So how do I improve my balance for yoga?
Okay. So practice.
Practice is
like
good.
Like I tell my daughter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Practice. Just practice, practice. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to things like balance, it's not just a matter of just balance. There's, it's about building the muscles in your toes, mm-hmm. about building muscles surrounding the ankle. And in the calf, it's also about good posture. It's also about the breath. Mm-hmm. That if you're quite erratic of mind and your breath's a bit all over the joint, then you're going to really struggle to find balance. And so balance is exactly that. It's not just about balance of the body, it's about balance of the mind. And so there are lots of different poses that you can do to build those muscles without going into balance. So you can, there's lots of other muscles, lots of other poses you can do that aren't balance related that can help with balance.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Yeah, that makes
sense.
Yeah.
So anything that really builds on the ankles. So lots of poses we could do on the toes. So if you're standing on the toes and doing poses,
mm-hmm.
Both toes, I guess. Yeah, that's helps with building muscles in the toes and in the ankles as well. So that's a really good way to build balance is firstly just doing the balance poses over and over again and not getting frustrated at yourself when you fall out of them.
Yeah. I was amused at myself. I wasn't frustrated.
I'm not saying you do. A lot of people do. Yeah. No, sorry, it wasn't specifically at you. This is the one thing is people, they fall out of it. And so instead of just stepping out of it and then coming back into it, and I used to do this, and I've learned this because someone's told me, is they fall out of it and they go, and guaranteed any new person who has no problem with being shy will pipe up at that point in the pose, in the balance pose, because it's their frustration is just coming out verbally because, and they'll always, I can't balance. And this is the first thing. This is the only pose that people get so frustrated in is balance. And it's, balance comes from balance of mind. So you really need to slow your breath down and get very mindful. And that's where you find people, the second they clear their brain, no matter how bad their balance was the first time, the second time around, if you can really just be really mindful and on the mat, they nail it.
I will try and keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Definitely I can say my brain isn't all that balanced, so I'll work on that as well.
It's
so.
Only, what, 30 seconds do we hold the pose for?
So
just try for 30 seconds.
I do try.
Yeah, I'm good. Very trying. No, I'm sure, yeah. You got to do is try. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to finish off the show today with a bit of a meditation, which is Shavasana.
Shavasana,
okay,
yep.
Got there finally. So if you are at home, you probably want to find a comfortable corpse position, apparently.
Corpse position, yep. person. So
you can lie down on your couch or on the floor or whatever you feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. If, however, you are driving, please just listen to the lovely music and Emily's lovely voice. And don't please try this while you're driving because it will end badly. Yep. So if you're on the train, I'll leave it up to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. So we're going to kick off some music and then you'll hear Emily come in and tell you what to do.
So just lying yourself down, making yourself nice and comfortable, making any final adjustments that you need, and then closing down the eyes, arms by the side, palms facing up, bringing your awareness to the top of your head. Begin to survey your forehead, eyebrows and cheekbones. Bring your awareness to your nostrils and the breath at your nostrils. Stay here for a few breaths. Then bringing your awareness to your jaw, neck, chest. Inhale and exhale completely for a few breaths. Then surveying your shoulders, upper arms, elbows, forearms, wrists, hands, fingers, fingertips. Inhale from the tips of your fingers up to your shoulders, exhaling back down to your fingertips again. And do this for a few breaths. Working your way back to your fingertips, fingers, hands, wrists, forearms, elbows, upper arms, shoulders, abdomen, hips, thighs, knees, calves, ankles, feet, toes. Inhale as though your whole body is inhaling, and exhale as though your whole body is exhaling. Exhaling negative energies, stress, and anxiety. Inhaling new energy, peace and calm. Do this for a few breaths. Coming back to your toes, feet, ankles, calves, knees, thighs, hips, abdomen, chest. Inhale and exhale completely for a few breaths. Coming back to your shoulders, upper arms, elbows, forearms, wrists, hands, fingers, fingertips. Inhale from the tips of your fingers up to your shoulders, exhaling back down to your fingertips again. Coming back to your fingertips, fingers, hands, wrists, forearms, elbows, upper arms, shoulders, neck, chin, cheekbones, forehead, eyebrows, nostrils.
keeping your awareness to your breath at the nostrils, making a conscious effort to keep it long and deep and without noise. Bringing some movement into your hands and to your feet. And then reaching the arms above your head and stretching through your whole body. Then bringing your palms together, thumbs at the sternum, hands in prayer. Bringing your thumbs to your eyebrow center as a reminder to think loving and positive thoughts of yourself and of others. Bringing your thumbs to your lips as a reminder to speak loving and positive words of yourself and of others. And finally, thumbs to your heart center as a reminder to do loving and positive things for yourself and for others. Namaste.
You are listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. This is not SBS or any other station that have such things normally. Emily, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It'd be wonderful. I will pop our information about Chunky Yoga onto Stand Up Straight's Facebook page so you can find it there. You have been listening to Clayton on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Good night.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.